Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Dr. Carl, good morning to you. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Dr. Howard.
Excellent. So we were talking a little bit earlier about different colors, highlighters in particular, that people use, for things to stand out, to memorize when they're learning. Why is yellow so popular? Why do 85% of highlighters sold, why are 85% of highlighters sold yellow?
I've wondered about this myself. I've got two reasons, and almost certainly there's many more if we go thinking about it using the group collective intelligence. The first thing is that the human eye is most sensitive to the green, and green is close to yellow. Secondly, you can make yellow fairly bright, but it won't black out the background. So you can have a very bright red, but it's hard to read through it. And you have a very bright blue, but it's hard to read the words through it. But a very bright yellow is kind of transparent. Why it's transparent and the other colors are not, I do not know. But that's what we've got. That's the best I got for you, Dr. Howard.
Okay, that's not bad. I will take it. We'll absolutely take it. But it's interesting about green. You'd think that people would go with green being that color.
But green, the dye, seems to be darker and makes
same issue,
what's underneath harder to read. The yellow is just very soft, so that's okay.
Right. Okay, let's talk about some of the pseudosciences, because it's really a very... it's a very confusing world out there, and the sense that I often have is that the more desperate people are to find answers and solutions, the more the pseudosciences become appealing. What is the difference between the pseudosciences and actual science? When does it merge?
Well, one thing about science is that it will follow the evidence to a conclusion, and that conclusion is based on the body of evidence, whereas in the pseudosciences, they and the science denial, like a pseudoscience might be astrology or crystal healing, and science denial might be anti-evolution or flat earth or anti-climate change. Mm-hmm. In those cases, they work backwards from their desired result and they cherry pick the evidence to suit. Another difference is that in science, you're always willing to change. New data gives you a new conclusion, whereas in pseudoscience and science denial, they're very confident they don't want to change. And in science, you like the criticism. You like these essential checks and balances, whereas in pseudoscience and science denialism, they see any criticism as a conspiracy to cover up the truth that they have the only access to. And then a big difference between pseudoscience and science denial is that in pseudoscience, like astrology, they really want to believe. Whereas in science denial, they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe in
That's so
evolution.
Interesting. Right. And
there's another difference.
Yeah,
is that in pseudoscience, they have a very low standard of evidence. So if I'm a crystal healer and you've got a sore tummy, and I come around to your place and I put some crystals around your bed and you get better, hey, that's 100% proof that it works. So they've got a very low standard of evidence, whereas in science denial, they go for a very high standard. So no matter what you say to people who deny the existence of the COVID virus, evolution, climate change, nothing is good enough. And they say, okay, so you've got all these climate models. Well, in the main street of Johannesburg, at 2 o'clock on the 25th of May, what's the weather going to be? What's the temperature? You can't predict it? Well, that proves that your models aren't very accurate. So that's kind of the differences between the science and the two pseudosciences.
It's almost one is faith-based and the other isn't.
And both are perfectly valid forms of science of thought. So at our university, one of our very top people, expert in relativity, who's a professor, is also a minister of religion. And one of those, religion, depends entirely on faith and zero proof. And the other one, science, depends 100% on proof and zero on faith. Mm-hmm. And this person has got both those systems running inside their brain with no problems at all. Science is not contrary to religion. They can exist perfectly well in the 100%. Same brain, in the same way as there's no problem with religion and evolution.
100% right. Very, very interesting. I'd love your reaction, please. 34519 or 0618951019. A previously unrecognized pollutant is too much nitrogen. Tell us about this.
Yes. Now, nitrogen is making up about 80% of the air, and when the wind blows on your face, when you're breathing in air, overwhelmingly you are breathing in nitrogen. And we've had a long-term balance where most of the nitrogen around in the atmosphere is inactive, and only a very small amount of it becomes active when it gets married to other atoms and then goes into the biological life cycle. And then one way that nitrogen, because we've interfered with the natural cycle, is harming our planet, is that we make these nitrates, you know, nitrogen plus oxygen atoms, and they're as a fertilizer, and the rain washes them into the watercourses in the oceans, and this feeds algal blooms that suck up the ocean, and you end up with dead zones, and there's more than 400 of them right now in the world. A second problem is air pollution. So when you burn in a car, petrol, you're creating oxide, and go into your
Oh, Dr. Carl, the line has just suddenly gone very, very faint. It's almost like you're there, but not quite there. You're basically Schrodinger the cat at the moment. Oh, there we go. Now we can hear you. Sorry.
Okay. By the way, I've got a gigabit up and down on optic fiber, so who knows? Right. The third problem that happens is soil acidification, because the same nitrates that go into the waterways also pull key nutrients out of the soil, including magnesium and calcium, and so this can make the soil too acidic. A fourth problem is that the excess nitrates can destroy the ozone layer, and the fifth problem is that they're via ammonia making the air more alkaline, and that's causing degradation of peat mosses and other things around the world. So we just need to recognize it, and then we can do something about it and fix it and make the world a better place.
Absolutely right. It's about to go 7:30. Dr. Cole, thank you. As always, we'll catch you next week.